a lot of people are going crazy and they think that this is 2008.
You hear it all the time.
And I agree, but it's also completely different. Here's why.
Episode 207 coming in strong, my friend. I'm glad to be back in the UK. I'm thrilled, feeling good.
Not looking good, though. Do they not sell razor blades in the United States?
Okay, this was my protest beard, right? Because I was back in the States, and kind of like, you know, like athletes don't want to shave until they win. I didn't want to shave until I got back in the UK. Now I'm here.
And now it looks like you're either auditioning for Santa Claus or Jesus. I don't know which.
It'll get shaved. I just didn't have time from getting on the plane, landing, and getting over here for the shot. So I'll shave tomorrow.
Okay, good. We'll see about that. If you're unshaven in next week's episode, we'll have problems.
First off, we know damn well that I will, because we were going to shoot like six of these in a row. But I will be done and shaved and clean for your mastermind coming up March 28th or 29th and 30th. Yeah.
One of those two.
Yeah, one of those two. 29th and 30th. Yeah. All right, let's get into this. Let's talk about the news of the week, my friend.
Okay, news of the week. This week, let's talk about the global financial crisis, or specifically about the Silicon Valley Bank collapse. I mean, Topher...
Lots of panic in the air right now.
It's crazy. And even with the delay, it'll be interesting to see when this episode is published if it's calmed down or it's bubbled up, because who knows where it's going to go. But there's a lot of people panicking. They're going crazy like it's 2008.
Yeah.
And I agree. But it's also very, very different, and here's why.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell me why, because to me, it certainly walks like a duck and sounds like a duck, if you ask me.
Yeah, look, it does feel a little bit like the trauma, and people are sensitive. I mean, this article speaks to how the U.S. regulations gotten weak again. So, i.e., after 2008, the global financial crisis, all the banking regulations tightened up, but now they've gone really slack and sloppy again. Oh, it's happening all over again. But
thank you, Donald Trump.
Maybe. But and that's why Biden's not happy, right? Because it's come at the worst possible time, and the U.S. is weakening as a global power, and now there's allegedly financial instability. But here's the thing I'll point out, or rather this article points out. Number one, there's on average 25 bank failures in the United States every year.
Which makes me wonder how many banks there are, actually. Because I probably would have thought, oh, there's only maybe 30 banks anyway. But there's obviously more than I was thinking.
Right. I mean, in the United States, there's a lot more local banks than there is in the United Kingdom. But still, the fact that there's been 563 failures in that 22-year period is crazy, right? But then...
Always got time for coffee?
Always got time for coffee.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Perfect. Thank you. Sugars, guys, or sweet?
No, well, I think we're fine. We're sweet enough as it is. Yeah. I'm sweet. He's a little bit sour. Grumpy man. All right, go for it.
I look at this, and even though if you read Ray Dalio's stuff, which I'm a big fan of, you could say, well, we're at the debt cycle. All the actual stats, the data, points to this is... there's a little bit of instability, but it's not going to be as long or as severe as it was in 2008. Yeah. So... it's the same in that it's a crisis, it's a restriction of credit, it's a tightening of credit necessary after what happened.
Could be a good thing.
The cycle with all the printing and the free money that was in the pandemic. But the reason why I could argue it is the same is because of inflation, right?
It's
very different in 08, 09. But because of inflation, even though the economy is not going down, the UK is now not predicted to go into recession at all this year in 2023. In real terms, the cost of everything's going up, so you can't buy as much. So you may not be in a recession, but your money doesn't go as far. So it feels to the average person will feel restricted, like they haven't got as much money. Right.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because I think the only thing that is certain, Topher, is nobody's got a damn clue really what's going to happen. There's too much. There's too many variables of which you could go in any which direction.
I tell you what, though, it'd be a fun conversation just to explore why the bank even failed. Because the one thing that does seem a little bit different from 2008, and maybe it's just because I'm more aware of it now, and maybe it's not a big deal, is it's like, my God, how many more startups can we have that are valuated at $1 billion and don't produce one damn dollar, right? It's like, it seems like, is this maybe just the market catching up going, guys, companies have to produce something to be worth something?
Yeah, look, it's going to be interesting. You could just say it's classic boom and bust, and maybe we're just another cycle all that's over.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe I'm just a little bit more aware now.
Right, yeah. So I remember when 08, the global financial crisis was happening, I was like in a panic on what it meant and the world was going to end. And actually, so for those listening who have not been through a full cycle before, I remember going, oh my God, it's over, it's gonna end. And there was, yeah. I mean, do you remember how much panic there was?
I do. I remember just watching the news and like another bank had collapsed and the stock, like, I mean, there were pictures of stockbrokers just like with their heads and their hands in their heads and just all sorts of
right.
crazy
suicide
stuff.
Suicide
yeah.
shot up. Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah. But do you know what happened to my business that year?
I do not, no.
Doubled in size. Do you know what happened in 2009 when we were still in it?
Still doubled in size?
It doubled in size again. Now, admittedly, I was much smaller back then, but the point being that for small business owners is, yeah, the government's not going to solve your problems, right?
Amen to that.
I mean, unfortunately, it's not on the tip of my tongue, but it feels like Buffett 101. It's like, I don't care what's going on in the market.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to find good businesses and I'm going to invest in them.
Right.
Because over the long term, they're going to do good. Yeah. I'm not panicking because, oh, this year might be choppy or the next 2 years might be choppy or it might be a great time. Okay, just it comes back to the fundamentals day to day. I mean, Silicon Valley Bank is also different in that it was a bank for startups. This wasn't mom and dad.
That's what I'm saying. It's like none of them were producing any kind of money.
Right, right. And again, without...
I shouldn't say none.
I'm not clear about how the it works in the US, but I think the FDIC insures up to the first $250,000.
For the consumer, yeah. Up to $250,000 of our deposits are protected.
Yeah. But this bank was weird in that, I forget, it's something like 60, 70, 80% of their depositors were above that threshold. So these were like VC-funded banks. And,
yep.
And don't get me wrong, I think it's wise for people to be aware, but you shouldn't be disproportionately panicked. Oh, right. Now I'm now dialed into over. We've not recorded one of these in this studio for a while. I'm now dialed into my Buffett. I'll be greedy when others are fearful and fearful when others are greedy. Everybody's fearful, right? Yeah. So I kind of go, you know what? There's opportunities here. So focus on your own backyard. Stick to your knitting. Don't get carried away with what the media are telling you.
Yeah. Good. All right. With that, let's talk about the fail of the week.
Okay. Fail of the week this week. This is a great one. Fun one. So there is a tiny, a small business in Brighton, a bin firm, that have been told by Middle Earth Productions, which owns the rights to the
Lord of the Rings yes.
franchise operation, told the Brighton Bin Firm to change their names, because I bet you can't guess. But you can't guess what the company's
Lord of the Bins.
Lord of the Bins, that's right. And now, to be fair, if you look at it in the article, the they're definitely going for it, as in that it's using the same font, etc.
Yes.
So, but clearly, I don't think there's anybody that is looking at this company going, huh, they're actually endorsed by Frodo. like, you know what I mean? Gandalf must be an investor, early stage investor in this company.
Careful now. You're running the risk of mentioning the wrong character from the wrong movie series, and you'll piss off a lot of nerds.
I will.
Yeah.
But I suppose it is interesting, Joe. But I mean, and this week's theme on the podcast is not about all things legal. It's just being aware. Because, of course, the directors who run this company are saying, look, it's going to cost us thousands to rebrand, and this is ridiculous. And I'm probably going to get hate mail for this, but I don't disagree with Middle Earth Enterprises. That's what they're called. I don't disagree. It's like, yeah, you're basically using our brand to further your own business.
I could go real easily the other way. In fact, I don't know if you guys have this here, but do you have the idiot in a hurry clause?
No, I don't think so.
It's an actual thing, which is the logic in the law is, would an idiot in a hurry be confused by this and think it's the other company?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know if that or the equivalent of that exists in UK law, and I'm definitely not a lawyer and don't play one on the internet.
I am so disappointed that you didn't ask me, well, what do you think then? Would you get these two confused? You are slipping.
It is. It's all right. I'm going to wait for the captain to
I teed you up for the perfect slam.
Yeah, and look, by the way, so anybody that's been around me any length of time will be quick to point out, Dan, hold on, are you criticising this company for using Lord of the Bins? Like, Toby, you think of some of the video promos we used to do for my past conferences?
Do you remember the IDAN?
The IDAN. We got to find that video and put it in the show notes.
I still have that. I just saw it the other day. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you've got to... Yeah. Sell it to the audience because they don't know. I know what you're talking
the
about.
The IDAN was possibly one of the best commercials. I think maybe that, and then the Wild Wild West was pretty well. But then we had the Mission Impossible one too. We've had some really good ads.
Yeah, yeah. So for those that don't know, I suppose the point is that we did conferences with themes, and I liked using well-known Hollywood blockbusters of the time. So we definitely did one around Harry Potter. We definitely did one around Mission Impossible. We
had the Wild Wild West.
Wild West. We had a superhero one.
Yeah.
Right? And that was pre-Marvel. I don't want to say Marvel got their ideas from me, but, you know.
But, listen, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck.
I did the trailer. Maybe I should send them a cease and desist. Anyway. So, but the IDAN was a... when you said the
it was a classic. So we took the
when
iPad...
You say classic, I mean... Advertisement of all time, not our advertisements. I mean,
yeah.
Really, we should have won some kind of... What was the award?
A lawsuit, I think, is the word that we're looking for. Because we took the iPad 2 commercial and mimicked it exactly, calling it the iDan 2. And it was the new version. And I was so proud of that.
It was brilliant. In fact, put the link in. Nobody else is listening now, Topher, but I'll go for a walk down a memory lane. But I suppose the point is, for small business owners, is... you've got to get yourself educated because there's both sides, right? A lot of people, I think, and I can hear Suzanne Dibble, who's a member of our mastermind programming, and has got some great materials for business owners, small business owners that need to get themselves educated from a legal standpoint.
Yep.
I think a lot, she may disagree with me, but I think a lot of business owners disproportionately panic about protecting everything and et cetera. But I think you need to be aware of how to protect yourself. But also protect yourself as in protect your IP, etc. But also, how do you not cross the line?
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of entrepreneurs that don't give a crap. And in fact, I've got to tip my hat to Nick and Dan, the directors of Lord of the Bins, or whatever they're called now. Because on the one hand, you kind of go, they overstepped the line. But on the other hand, they have got a major article on the BBC News website, which is pretty much, I mean, it's trying to be independent, but it's pretty much saying, defending them, saying this is ridiculous that this big conglomerate is coming after us.
Yeah.
So either they'll fight it or they'll change the name, but regardless, this is going to be the most famous bin collection company in the whole county, you know?
Yeah. So they're getting their advertising dollars at work here.
Right, right. And the irony would be, it wouldn't surprise me in the least, if middle-earth enterprises don't really care. They sent one standard cease and desist, and yet somehow they've managed to turn it into this massive advertising campaign, which, if you think about it, kind of genius.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. Well, let's. Speaking of genius, we should probably talk about our promotion of the week. Our promotion of the week is coming up, your business skills mastery course about staying legally prepared and legally financed, legally intelligent, if I'm not mistaken.
Are you drunk? Like, that was the worst transition I've ever heard. I think we should leave that in the... we need to leave that in the edit. Like, what the... I'm hoping... Should we just call this episode a warm-up episode?
You know what's funny? I was reading we had an article that was posted yesterday, and it said another great podcast by Dan and Topher. And I was thinking, nobody's ever honest about that. Like, nobody's ever said, here's another podcast, but it really is not that good. They kind of phoned it in. Maybe this will be the one.
I think we've set it up.
All right.
So I don't remember, Topher. What are we promoting?
I think
are we promoting the Finance Skills Day in April?
No,
thought we were talking about the legal one.
I thought we were promoting the legal
one. I'm going to suggest we don't, because while I've spoken to Suzanne and she's agreed to it, she can't do August. So that kind of messes up our promo for
us. Okay, then let's do the Finance Masterclass.
Okay.
There we go.
This is seamless.
We're leaving all this in. This is gold.
Just dumb over the word legal with finance.
like real bad, like the Arnold Schwarzenegger one movie, The Barbarian, where they voiced in some other guy. Yeah. All right. So speaking of promotion of the week, my friend, you have a business finance masterclass coming up.
Yeah. Look, if you want a better business, you need to become a better business owner. And I think, hands down, the number one skill that prevents businesses from scaling sustainably, scaling profitably, is financial literacy.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the thing that catapulted me from being stuck. Back 15 years ago, I got stuck at kind of mid-six-figure revenues, about $500,000. I kind of plateaued for 2 or 3 years there. Yeah. What broke me through, not just to seven-figure revenues, but beyond, and shot the profits. And if I think of the clients of ours, those that are at six-figure revenues, legacy clients, are the ones who've got seven-figure, multi-seven-figure profits. The number one differential, in my opinion, is financial literacy.
I agree, and I probably wouldn't have agreed maybe even 2 years back, but I've spent enough time with you now that I've come to realize that, like, I probably would have argued with that and said, no, I think what makes a business successful is you have to have a unique and remarkable solution for a very specific problem. And if you have that, the rest will take care of itself. And I think that was ignorant, because there are tons of companies out there that have mediocre products with for lots of different solutions, but they're doing great. Why?
They're drowning in cash. They're financially literate. And
by the way, also a lot of great companies go out of business because they can't manage their money.
Or worse than going out of business, Topher. They just kind of struggle along anemically. You know, these zombie companies. Because again, if you want to loop back to why it's 08, but it's not the same, but why it's similar. All the money that was printed. So in 08, when the markets tightened, nobody had any money, but we're still so liquid now that even though the market's tightened and inflation's taking off, there was so much money that was printed.
Yeah.
Not after 08, albeit it was after 08, but for the pandemic, there's so much money that now that we're back to quote-unquote normal trading, there's businesses that have got C-bills loans, bounce back loans, that have got to make the payments, and there was business rates relief that's then come off, and all of a sudden people are just hurting, and they are staying in business, but it's not going as far, and it's just a slow, painful death.
Yeah.
Join us next week for more motivational messages on the Dan Bradbury podcast. So you got to get financially literate. So come down to our skills day. We'll put a link in the show notes. We do this typically once per year, mm-hmm. and it's a deep dive. It's a put it this way: I've had numerous accountants and people that have attended MBAs that have said they've learned more from this one-day course on how business finance works practically than they've done in their degree.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me a bit. All right, let's talk about the fail of the week, my friend.
You mean hero?
Yeah, I mean hero of the week.
All right, hero of the week this week is Alan Hutchinson from Elite Entrance Systems. So I love Alan's. They install entrance systems, automated doors. So the kind of stuff that you see at kind of universities, hospitals, etc. The revolving doors, the electric doors.
Interesting.
And that's what they do. But Alan and his wife Tracy founded the company about 10, 12, 14 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they joined our program about 3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right, they're going into their fourth year.
Yep.
And they joined and said, hey, we've got to multi-seven-figure revenues, very profitable, strong balance sheets. And they're like, we haven't got a clue what we're doing. We have no idea.
Financially.
I think they said it in the generic sense. How did we end up here?
Really?
So wow, it was the classic... They weren't entrepreneurs. Alan had just worked in the industry.
Oh, okay.
And then went independent because he didn't like what was going on. Kind of did a few, and then it grew. So he hired somebody, and then it just grew.
Great tease for the quote of the week coming up, by the way.
Yeah, well said. And for the book of the week. But where I give him absolute credit is, I think you've got to know your own weak spots. So what was great was they went, look, we've gotten it this far, and it's gone great. So it was almost like every single year, I think, since inception, the company had grown.
Wow.
And it had grown profitably. And it had done with no debts. And so it was all just sensible, kind of common sense. And you'd love them. Mm-hmm. I don't know how well you know, Alan, but he was founded on customer service. And everybody says that, but that's why they were obsessed. They just took care of the customers. The customers took care of them.
Yeah.
And the business grew nicely. And then they went, look, we got to a size now, and I forget how many staff there were, 18, 20, something like that. And they were like, huh, well, we need the business skills and tools to enable us to grow the company.
I'm wondering if they realize, wow, this is getting big enough. If we don't get our shit together, we're going to be hurting.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think they wouldn't mind me saying it. Well, whilst it's not immediate, that they saw, hey, in X many years' time, we're going to want to retire. We're going to want to step out. And so we need to prepare for that now. We need to make sure we've got the systems and the team in place for it to operate without us. And, of course, they also want it to grow. So here about a week, because they did great. They grew the business. Some other have been bumps on the road. You know, they hired an MD. Tracy stepped out of the business. And whilst I'm not going to pretend like it was seamless, there was some mishires and all the rest of it. Fundamentally, they are robust and absolutely smashing it out of the park.
That's all the better. The reason for them to be here the week, right, is because if things don't go as well and they still keep at it and they still end up coming out the other side, that's all the better.
Yeah. So, I mean, the rest of the takeaway for people is like you got to invest in yourself. And that might seem a little bit self-aggrandizing coming from me, but in some way, shape or form, if you want to do better, you need to be better.
Listen, in the world, in the words of the great American philosopher Kid Rock, it ain't bragging if you back it up. And you can back it up.
That's funny. I was going to go with a quote from Charlie Munger, and you trumped it with a quote from Kid Rock. Oh, dear Lord.
I'll tell you what, I'm coming in the flow now. Right, I'm in the pocket now.
I do feel like I'm going to have to try and shoehorn this in, because I feel it's somewhat slightly more highbrow, which was Charlie Munger's, to get what you want, you have to deserve what you want, because the world isn't yet a crazy enough place to reward a whole bunch of undeserving people.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay, I don't wish you had the seven-figure profits.
Yeah.
If, like, you're not going to get it unless you deserve it.
Yeah.
All right, how do you do that? You upskill yourself in the areas where you're deficient.
It's funny you say that, and all I can hear is a parent asking their child what they want to be when they grow up, and nowadays the kids go, I want to be an influencer.
I don't want to talk about that right now.
Has it happened to you yet? You got good kids, though. I can't imagine that they're going to say that.
I'm not going to name any names. It's not been said. But there is one child of mine in particular who I'm a little bit going, yeah, okay, I'm. This could be an interesting conversation that we need to have at some point.
Well,
follow me for more parenting tips.
Yeah, indeed. All right, I'll tell you what, I'm in the pocket, I'm feeling good. Let's move on to the fail of the week. Or the book of the week.
What is wrong with you? I don't want to, point any fingers, but we're in episode 207, Topher. All right, it hasn't been the same format for all 207 episodes, but we're 50 deep in this format?
Did we talk about the fail of the week? See, you can't get mad at me if you don't even remember what you talked about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, one of the bins.
Oh, Lord of the Bins, yeah. See, and I actually kind of think of them as the hero of the week because I just love the company. All right, yes. Let's talk about the book of the week, my friend. I'm pretty sure it's book of the week, yeah?
I was waiting for the timing to go.
Let's talk about the book of the week.
All right, the book of the week this week. This is an epic book, Topher. It's well worth picking up, and that's The Most Important Thing by Howard Marks. And, I'll say it simply. I'll say what the book's about, and then I'll give you a reason why you should read it. So this book is a series of blog articles by an investor called Howard Marks. I forget his company name. I think it's Oak Tree Capital, I think, or something like that. And each blog post that he'd write for his investors was, the most important thing is X, asset allocation.
So it's different depending upon the company.
Every week, every month when he wrote an article, I'd be like, the most important thing to focus on is asset allocation. The most important thing is diversification. The most important thing is maximum upside. The most important thing is thinking long term, right? But each article is so profoundly well written. It's one of those where you can pick it up, go to any chapter, read it, and go, holy crap.
That is the most important thing.
That is the answer. And I remember just a little story. I forget what the title of the chapter was, but at the time when I read this book, which was about 10 years ago, I was doing a lot of money lending, B2B. And so I was doing a lot of money lending, and I was making epic returns because I had spare cash and I'm good at assessing small businesses. So I was making loans in tricky situations where they wouldn't be able to get it from a bank, right?
Very cool.
So it was more like mezzanine financing, so it was higher interest, but it was where they didn't have the hard asset, so I had to kind of gauge the person and the business model, and was my capital safe? And Topher, the worst possible thing happened. I never missed. Like, every single loan was like getting paid, but getting paid back, and I was making so much money, it was astronomical.
I think I know where this is going.
I bet you don't. So I,
well, based on my track record for this podcast, you're probably right.
So I had a loan out, and it was the largest loan I'd ever made. It was £250,000, which for me at the time was
substantial.
It was a very large sum of money, and I effectively got betting bigger and bigger because every loan I got came back, and I made the interest and I assessed it correctly. And then I was reading this book, and I'd already made the loan. And the chapter was something like, the most important thing was recognizing when you're an idiot. It was something like that. And it basically said, sometimes the worst thing that can happen is you win and you falsely assume it's because you're smart.
Sure, yeah. You know, well, like, this is where I thought it was going. It's like, but you didn't stumble?
Nope. Not at this point. So I read this chapter and I looked it down, and it said, you know, it's like the Bill Gates quote, successful smart people into thinking they know what they're doing.
Yes.
And then this guy just laid it out, and he goes, every time it happens, people double down. And it's like, and life's going to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
And I literally can still feel it. I've got goosebumps now. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to lose this one. This one's going to go bad. Right, and I'm like, shit, and it was a really weird deal, and it was secured against a property, but the property was in front, and I went, oh my God, if this fails, I have no idea how to. I don't even know that my contracts are robust enough, because again, this was a long time ago. Yeah. That, like, how the hell? Oh, and I went into a blind panic, and I remember, Topher, you know how deeply religious I am not. I got on my knees and I prayed to God. I said, if you get me out of this one, like, I will stop lending the money. Anyway, and somehow the loan did get repaid. And I was like, oh my God, I've won again. But I learned the lesson and I got out of the money lending business at that point.
Interesting.
For about 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And then I got word back in again. And then life did proceed to punch me in the face. So yeah, so I can now say I have endured the losses, so I can personally attest to this book is right. But the point I'm making is there's so many different chapters on different topics that are applicable for anybody in business.
Yeah.
So it's written as though for an investor, but you're the lead investor in your business.
Yeah.
And it's like just simple principles,
yeah,
concepts just to think about or to filter through when you make decisions. So wow. I absolutely love this book. Most Important Thing by Howard Marks. And if that wasn't enough, any book which has got a testimonial from Warren Buffett on the cover...
That says something.
It's worth definitely worth picking up.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right, my friend. Let's go to the quote of the week then.
Okay. I like this quote because it's kind of the opposite of the Serenity Prayer, which I'm in favor of the Serenity Prayer. I've got a relative who's just gone through rehab, and the Serenity Prayer was helpful, but it rhymes with it in an opposite sense.
Yes.
So it's from Angela Davis. I am no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I'm changing the things I cannot accept.
Angela Davis just slipped a communist into your quotes there. Activist, feminist, and fascist. Was she a fascist? No. She wasn't fascist. She was a...
You are almost sounding profound there.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that one. Yeah.
Should we do it again? Should I make you look cool? Or we
give No. We're giving up on that. First off, that can't happen anyway. No matter how many we edit, I'm never going to look cool. I've come to know my lot in life. It's not happening. She might have been I'm not too sure. Anyway, like, profound person. She's done a lot of work in the feminist movement, but also big fan of communism or something. Can't remember what it was. Anyway.
There's a slight difference between communism and
fascism. I know. That's why I'm confused on it now. I'll have to look it up.
Good job.
Yeah.
So, but I suppose, in a sense, though, so I can't speak to her as a person, and neither can you, apparently. But the quote is, I mean, that's an entrepreneurial mantra there.
By the way, that's why I selected it, because I thought, oh, isn't this how...
I'll throw you the life.
Isn't this how most businesses are started?
Oh, of course.
Right. Even our hero of the week. That's how we started this company, right? He didn't like the way he was.
Correct. This is bullshit.
They're making change it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, well said.
All right. Well, speaking of well said, why don't you say something smart to finish off the podcast?
Well, as always, if you want a better business, you need to become a better business owner.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
See you next time.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. Three things you need to do now. Number one, make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you do not miss an episode. Also, get on over to Amazon to get a copy of my latest book, Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity, 9.5 Steps to Improving Your Profits and Cash Flow. Also, join our Facebook group, the Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity community, to connect with other business owners.